President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. When we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. We apologize. We're having some communication problems there, trying to get our guest on. We're going to try, while I continue on here with the introduction to the show. Here we are, July the 22nd on the West Coast, July the 23rd. On the East Coast and in the central time zones of the United States. Welcome to all the people in the U.S. military listening to us around the world on Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers. Well, lots to talk about tonight. Lots to talk about. And I have to tell you, as I often say, I watch very little TV, if any at all. And I took it upon myself tonight just to see what was being reported about the world news that I'm following, and of course nothing on our mainstream here in the United States. Other than I picked up something on Comedy Central. I don't know if this was a tape or a live show. Jon Stewart was mocking Dr. Orly Tate's lawsuit, and all of us who are demanding to know who Barack Obama is, and this voice speaking to you right now knows who he is, one of many that's awakening to the fact that we've got a usurper in the White House. We've got somebody that somehow is above the law. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous, and I ask myself, when are people going to get angry? When are you going to get upset? When are you going to do something about this? Seriously, when are you going to take some action rather than just waiting for somebody else to do it? When are you each individually going to do something about this? I have certainly been doing my part, and I'm going to continue to do my part in that respect. And I have to tell you, you know, those of us that know the truth are being called wing nuts on CNN and MSNBC and Fox and ABC and NBC and CBS and headline news, it doesn't matter. We're wing nuts. Although they can spoon feed and stick a syringe up everybody's rear end with information on Michael Jackson for a month now. And the world is falling apart, which in a way is a good thing, because that means the central banks are going to crash. But, everybody's running in fear. You should be angry and upset. Now, I listened to Jon Stewart, and I watched him use video graphics. The newspaper in Hawaii printed the information about Barack Obama's birth, and they flashed this white piece of paper with black print on it. And it wasn't a representation of what's in the newspaper, first of all. It's propaganda. And the guy is just as much a part of the propaganda on a comedy show as they are on CNN or Fox News. I don't care if it's Bill O'Reilly or it's Keith Olbermann or Sean Hannity or any of these other clowns. Even Lou Dobbs, I have to say, is quite a disappointment. But what do you expect from CNN? The numbers add up to the number 13. I mean, it's controlled by the Illuminati. What do you expect to hear on there? But when they resort now to making fun of people on the comedy shows, and they use the same propaganda tactics, the same forged documents, I examined the newspaper, by the way. I've examined that newspaper, and it's bogus. It's as bogus as his Punahou School basketball shot, where he's got a shadow on his crotch sitting in broad what do you call it? Light, okay, from the camera. Everybody's lit up except this guy. The guy's arms got shadows on it, on the outside of his arm, and the light's hitting everybody else, making their hair gleam. Everybody's got orange hair like the basketball in the picture. It's ridiculous what they've done. And if you've read the articles, you know, and I get calls into the shows that I'm on, and there are people asking questions. They haven't read the material, and I can't fault people if they don't know how to read. But if they're listening to the show and we're talking about the article and you haven't read the article, read it. Please do us all a favor. Do yourself a favor so you understand what's going on here. You know, people, they look at pictures, they have to see movies, they have to be entertained. People are so brainwashed. People are so controlled. Your minds have been totally taken over. And to hear people laughing about this issue, they're laughing about this issue. The issue of this case going before the Supreme Court. It's a farce. I mean, this whole thing is a farce. When are you people going to wake up? And of course, I'm not talking to the devoted listeners out there that call in or write to me to express their feelings, turn me on to articles, voice their opinion about what they see coming down, sharing research. There are some people on the ball, and there are a lot of people that, for whatever reason, it's not clicking. It's not clicking. They're not figuring out what's going on. And I guess I shouldn't even fret over that, because ultimately it's going to come down to a spiritual issue. You know, it's going to be the simple matter that a few of my guests, Joe Church, has brought this up on a number of shows. That we are given an opportunity at this time in the world's history, that I should say the Earth's history, in the history of this planet, we're being given a time to make a choice. We're either going to choose God or we're going to choose Satan. We're going to choose what is good, what is in the light, what is filled with love, or we are going to choose darkness and hatred and evil and greed and murder. And the justification for murder that is occurring in this world right now is appalling. And the lies that are being told. The lies. We had Ingrid Castle from the Idaho Observer on last night's show, in case you missed the show. And she's talking about all the different things that they're putting in these vaccines that they're scaring everybody into having to take. And now, what are they talking about? They're talking about health care. We did a show last night on deadly vaccines, and they're talking about everybody's going to get health care. And we talked about last night that if you don't get the vaccine, you're going to be fined $250,000. And I brought up the issue, yeah, okay, I'll gladly pay that fine when you return the $12 billion you've stolen from a particular foundation that I know of. I have a right to say that. And I'm going to start using names, okay? And you can assume that I have permission to use this name now, by the way. The long-legged Mac Daddy, Barack Obama, Barry Satoro, or now we'll call him Barry Rockefeller. Barry Rockefeller. Get that name ingrained into your subconscious. Barry Rockefeller. This guy is no, and Pastor James David Manning is absolutely correct when he says this man is not an American. He's not African either, but he's not an American. So stop using this term African American. I'm sick of it. I'm disgusted with the lies. And that this guy, well, actually, he's not even that good of a poker face liar on TV in front of the press. He's got fixed questions. He's staring at a teleprompter. He's lying through his teeth and trying to keep a poker face. Lying. Everything coming out of their mouth is a lie. Why is it a lie? Because they're stealing trillions of dollars. They can no further offer anybody health care for anything other than to poison, to continue poisoning people. Stop and think about what they're saying. They're trying to tell you, oh, you got to, you know, we're going to pay for this, but you have to go to the doctors that we choose. But you're going to get the best of medical care while they're plotting to vaccinate the whole world and wipe out 6 billion or more people. Think about that. And you people are arguing about, are we going to have health care? Who's going to pay for the illegal aliens? We're talking about illegal aliens like it's just every day. Like, what did you have for breakfast today? I don't know. Ask the illegal aliens. They ate my breakfast. It's insanity what's going on. And if I sound like I'm upset, I'm not. I'm fed up. I'm fed up. And I don't know if we can get my guest back on now or not. We're having communication problems tonight. But I'm prepared to go it alone if I have to. It won't be the first time. So what am I getting to here? What is this show going to be about? Well, I will take some calls in a little bit. I'm going to give out the number. Area code, this is toll-free. Around the world, 888-815-9756. I'm not going to take the calls right away, but I will be taking a call. I'm going to try one more time to see if we can get our guest on here. If not, I'm going to have to try something else here and just go on with what I was going to do before. Well, that's not going to work. So sorry for the interruption there. Okay. Seth, if you want to try calling, I'm going to give you a number here. And hopefully this will work. This is about the last shot that we got here tonight. Bear with me, folks. We're improvising here. Okay. I'm going to read something here, which I find rather appropriate because this fits into everything that's going on. This comes from the Phoenix Journal. And this was from 2002, actually April of 2002. And this is gonna shake a few leaves off the tree, if you wanna put it that way. This is the individual that we know in the Bible and in religious writings as the Lord Jesus Christ. He's referred to in the universe as Azu Sananda, or just Sananda. And these messages come through. Don't think that just TV evangelists get spiritual messages. Any regular person can. And I'm going to quote, "I serve with brothers and sisters of light from many realms, many planets. They all come in service to you, their younger brothers and sisters. They serve day in, day out, day in, day out, selflessly, knowing that service is the one true calling that benefits the whole of the creation. You, the younger brothers and sisters, are connected to God and the creation. As you grow, so grows the whole. All is connected to all. It simply is a truth that your elder brothers understand fully. As you too grow in your dimensional awareness, you too shall seek service for the benefit of your younger, less mature brothers and sisters. But the call for service that is coming shall be a call for service to brothers and sisters of light, who do not dwell in darkness, who do not wish to kill one another, but rather who wish to benefit also the whole of creation on the earth, which shall be a paradise and a light unto the whole of creation. Mark my words, for they shall come to pass in your lifetime. Be at peace and know that we are close. We see. We know well that which is transpiring in the back rooms of the White House, in Peking, in London. All is known to us, and all shall be revealed. Those who have been traitors to mankind shall feel the sting of that treachery. You of God's people, and let me be very clear on this, I do not speak of God's people as Christians or of the Christian faith. I speak of all of God's people, whatever color or whatever religion you may be, if you have served your fellow man in honor, with compassion, and with love in your heart, with the intent of service, you shall be recognized and rewarded as one of God's people. Stop the ignorant foolishness of limiting what God may do or how God may view his people. This is God's creation. Do not limit him because you are limited. Love God with all your mind and all your heart and all your being, for God so loves you with all of his. You each shall come to know the days of light, for the days of light shall bring with them such glory, such grandeur, such splendor, such joy as you cannot imagine. Rejoice that God is in his heaven, and God's people will be united and recognized and rewarded for their service. Be at peace and know that certain actions and events must play themselves out on the universal playing field. May the day of light find you in the light and not in the darkness. Ponder these words and act upon them. Now is not the time for laziness or half-hearted measures. I would have you hot or cold, not lukewarm. You are loved beyond measure. Go in peace this day, for I am done. I am Esau, returned as Sananda, meaning one with God. Let not names cause confusion, but rather let the overall concept shed light, for all is light. Now, I find this kind of interesting that this message came through a little over 7 years ago. This was what I just read, actually, is from the 17th of April, 2002. So we already went through 9/11, and we already went through the lies, and there's more here that I want to share. There is a great awareness opening in the minds of those in the military and secret circles of clandestine activities. That awareness is expanding into seeing other possibilities than the ones that are being put forth by those of limited thinking within the power structure of your country. It is causing conflict within the hearts and minds of those in the military and clandestine circles, for there is an increasing awareness that much could be handled differently, more effectively, more peacefully. And thus, you have a division taking place even at the highest levels of government. Those who seek to destroy, who utilize others' resources and others' lives in service to self over resources, shall themselves be betrayed by those closest to them. This betrayal shall lead to additional conflict. That which is on the political horizon does not bode well for any who mean harm to others or who mean to bring control upon the heads of the people. It is only through thoughtful, peaceful intent toward resolution and living together in harmony that solutions will be found. Peace shall be sought by those meaning war, and no peace will be found. But the war shall circle back upon them, for thus is the law of return. You will receive less and less and less news. There shall be more controls put in place to prevent information from flowing to the people. Even those in high political circles will not know what is truly taking place, and this will lead to further confusion, because the whitewash lies that will be put forth to cover the truth will be exposed for the whitewash lies that they are, and trust will be further eroded. It is only when those in political circles do the right thing for the betterment and peaceful evolution of the whole that progress will truly be made. And I want to see now, you know, it's amazing that those words came through over 7 years ago, and they're right on point, as if it's happening today, describing today. Do we have Ken Adachi on the line now?
Yes, I'm here, though.
Okay, Ken, you got to speak up. I cannot hear you.
I am here.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a little bit of an echo here. Seth, if you can try to square that away. Well, I'm just trying to cover here. the show's got to go on. just sharing a message from the Phoenix Journal. It's actually something that's quite appropriate for what I've been seeing going on in the mainstream media the last couple of days, particularly today. I mean, it's nothing but a dog and pony show. Mm-hmm. Have you been following the news at all?
Well, I heard your show that you did last night, and I downloaded the file and I put it up on my website with the article that was posted concerning the injunctions that were filed. Now, I'm still curious if the injunctions were actually filed. I heard Ingrid Cassell say that there is yet no sure proof that the injunctions were filed. So I thought it'd be important to find out if, let's say, Truat or the other people who are named as plaintiffs on the injunction can confirm that it was filed. I understand that there's multiple courts that they're looking at. They're looking at filing with the Attorney General of the United States as well as state and federal courts. And I'm just curious to know, did you get any updated info?
No, just for the sake of the listening audience, what we're talking about, what Ken's referring to is this so-called lawsuit about the planned vaccination of billions of people. And we've not heard anything other than that initial report. I actually saw what has been, let's say, transmitted in terms of communicating to the general populace what's going on. They're seeking to bring these charges about, and they've itemized all of this. Some of the people that were on that list were, of course, Jane Burgermeister, Dr. William Deagle, and Alexander S. Jones. Does that name ring a bell?
I heard you mention that in talking to Ingrid, and personally, I haven't. I'm sure the name is familiar to you, but I am not familiar with that individual or what work he's been doing in this area.
Alexander S. Jones is Alex Jones.
that's Alex Jones. Okay. I never heard his name as Alexander formally, I see.
I
thought his proper first name was Alex, A-L-E-C, I see. Okay, well, thank you for telling me that. I had no idea. I'm going to look into it tomorrow, though. I'm going to call probably Truat and maybe Rebecca Carley and just...
Yeah, their names were in there, too. Yeah, okay. A. Truat and Dr. Rebecca Carley.
Right.
I don't know. I just know that they were based on evidence that Jane Burgermeister has, and she's supposedly in Austria from what I heard. I don't know if she's in hiding, if she's in any danger. I really don't know what's going on. There's so much information flying around, and nobody's really saying anything accurate. And I hate getting into those stories without checking them out myself.
Okay.
Which is, believe it or not, from the document I was reading, there's a whole section on that, too.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about all the disinformation that comes out, and I don't know if you got to hear what I was talking about. I got to listen to Jon Stewart's little comedy routine on Dr. Orly Tate's lawsuit in the Supreme Court, just making a total farce of it.
I see. Although that's standard operating procedure. We talked about that before. I'm used to seeing, I mentioned to you that, of course, I don't see television anymore, but typically NPR radio, who I don't tune into every day of late, I've just grown so much frustrated with hearing the party line, but typically I do listen to NPR radio to find out what the spin is. And they have shows on the weekend, and one of them is sort of a it's supposedly a quiz show. It has a panel of people, and it's the name of the show is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And I forget the name of the host, but I'm familiar with his voice. And there's a panel of people, some of them older known comedians, and they'll take news items of the week. And I've noticed on those, and their goal is to essentially be witty and somewhat ridiculing and mocking. And the stories that they seem to ridicule the greatest are the ones that of this sort that we're talking about. I mentioned to you when we talked privately a week or two ago, when that fellow, that student at the University of Florida, it was a couple of years ago, I think his name was Stanley Andrews or Andrew Stanley, that was close to it. He was tasered on campus. He was asking John Kerry a question, and he was persistent, and to get him off the microphone, the police, you know, literally pulled him off, and they tasered the man. And I can remember that this sort of, this very program I'm talking about, NPR, they used a quote that this man, because, you know, prior to him getting tasered, he shouted out, "Don't tase me, bro," and it's sort of become a buzzword phrase. Well, they used it in the interest of comedy, to both mock him, to dismiss what happened to him as being, you know, unimportant, of no great sweat. And same on TV. I saw a couple news commentators, in remarking about it, tried to make the incident the butt of a joke rather than handle it seriously. So it doesn't surprise me that this fellow would do the same thing, essentially try to mock and ridicule this woman in her lawsuit to diminish it, to make the party look foolish. You know, the typical accusation, tinfoil hat, conspiracy nut, their usual gamut of disparaging remarks and descriptions and, you know, personal attacks on people who tried to do the right thing, try to bring out the truth about the New World Order and their diabolical agenda. So that's standard operating procedure. I'm sure most of us are used to it by now, expect it. And we should just answer it calmly. And it's happening so often, there's no longer, I think, any benefit or need to react with shock at it. It should be answered for what it is. It's an attempt to belittle and to ridicule and mock in order to make the person look foolish.
Mm-hmm. And it's very similar to what they do on the news shows. There's really no difference. It's just that now they have permission to laugh. You know, they have this audience there. Yeah. To condone what they're saying, as if there's something funny about this.
Yeah.
You know, what gets my goat, and I'm sure anyone that knows what's going on when they hear that, is, you know, imagine yourself being Dr. Tate hearing this.
Oh, yeah.
Showing the phony documents, you know, the phony newspaper clippings. I've already pointed out in my research the associations, the money ties that Obama had, or I should say the long-legged Mac Daddy. I've got permission to use that from Reverend Manning. The long-legged Mac Daddy just has banking connections, and those are communist connections, okay? I used the word Russian on a show earlier today with Drew Raines. Should have said communist. Okay, this is just communism and fascism that we're seeing. And this was predicted in 1950. This was predicted, and it was written in a book in 1953 by T.H. Teatons. So this is not something new. This has been around for over a half a century. And these people are relying on the ignorance of other people. Now I got I'm going to interrupt for a second. I got a message that Alexander S. Jones is not Alex Jones. So I, but I think the name Alexander isn't Alex short for Alexander. I think.
I'm just guessing at this, but there's individuals that, for instance, the actor, Sir Alex Guinness, I believe his true first name is ALEC or ALEX. It's not abbreviated for Alexander. So I believe some people's proper first name is Alex. ALEC, I think.
Well, Alec. That would be Alec. No.
Well, you're
Alex.
Right. Some people, you're right. That's true. But some people do pronounce it as if it had an X on the end. Right. In very careful pronunciation, it would be Alec. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to thank Jim for Colorado for pointing out. I think what he's saying is it's not the broadcaster. I don't know who it would be, but it's not anyone else I heard of in any other venue. Maybe Jim from Colorado can call in and let us know if he wants to just get that message through. They can text it to me or whatever, but it's not that big of a deal. It's just a name that was part of the list.
Yeah.
Of people, but the point we were making is that they're challenging this idea that the World Health Organization is going to and the UN is going to be dictating that everyone get vaccinated. I mean, this is pure insanity, pure criminality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why don't they just stick their nose back into the oil for food program and keep out of our business?
Yes. Yeah, this is the boldest, most most serious attempt to virtually lord it over the entire population of the whole planet. It's a tremendous forward. I don't want to use quite the word leap because that implies progression of a positive nature, but it's a tremendously bold act that they should try to move this up so quickly, ramp it up so quickly to the point that they're actually with a straight face telling people it must be mandatory vaccinations. I mentioned in posting, I posted a page and a half or so preamble to the article about the complaint, the injunction complaint, as well as I posted the audio file to the show you did yesterday with Ingrid Cassell on this piece that I posted this morning. This is an extremely important issue for anybody who's just becoming aware of the New World Order issues, perhaps, and maybe stumbled onto my website just recently or just is becoming aware of this issue. This is so incredibly serious that what I'm calling the sheeple or the unaware average citizen who's more consumed with everyday concerns of life, going to work and paying the bills and getting the kids to school on time, which is certainly the majority of people, most of them they're barely aware of the gravity of the situation we're facing with this. And it's those people that have to not only come up to speed quickly as to what the issues are, but get in the game. Because if there's only the, internet radio talk show activists or websites like mine, if it's only going to be two dozen people or three dozen people who are going to be shouting this on the internet, it's not going to stop this juggernaut at all. It's not going to happen. The only way it happened is when the larger group body of citizens, the ones who've been paying no attention to chemtrails, don't even know what chemtrails are, aren't aware of the fact that Obama's, an illegal alien, he has a fraudulent genealogy background, that, they've been the bailouts, which the Bush administration put through last fall, and the stimulus package, all part of a huge thievery of unprecedented proportions that you've alluded to on many programs and you've written about. But certainly, even I would say, let's say the conspiracy world or the people who normally follow the New World Order stuff, they're barely aware of this this issue of this stealing. But if the ordinary person, though, who lives in this country or in France or in England or Canada or Australia, because everyone is going to be subjected to forced mandatory vaccinations this fall, unless the average citizen takes the time and the effort to first understand the dangers involved in taking any vaccine in normal times. But these aren't normal times. And this is a specially prepared vaccine intended to eliminate you. It's a specially bioweaponized, preloaded with a nanochip for tracking purposes, et cetera. This is not a routine vaccine. And of course, as you pointed out in your conversation with Ingrid, there is no pandemic. Of course, they weaponized one of their many bioweapons. It's obviously not working anywhere as well as they had planned it to work, but we've come to expect this. The bioengineered weapon called SARS also was supposed to cause a pandemic. And they closed down the entire city of Toronto in 2004 under the pretext that it was necessary to quarantine the city of what they said on the media was going to be an outbreak of this that was going to spread like wildfire across North America. Of course, it didn't happen. And this one that they released in Mexico and arranged that the circumstances were such, and everywhere else that they've seeded it, that you see reports in the paper, oh, this is another swine flu case in Egypt, and oh, there's one here, and there's one in Turkey, and blah, blah, blah. All these carefully placed stories were placed just for the reason of telling you, oh, my God, this is spreading, and oh, but of course, they can't get many people to die from it. Sure, some people have died, but how many people die from, quote, the normal routine run-of-the-mill flu every single year around the world?
The people that got the vaccines are the ones that died. They're looking for something that's got a little bit of a gestation period, you know, that it's going to incubate over a period of time and spread that way. No, they made it so lethal it's killing these people right away.
Okay, well, that's a very good, interesting point. We know that the earlier versions, that the so-called 1918 Spanish flu, was weaponized, was a bioengineered event. We know that now, and we know that it was given to military troops initially, and, quote, that's where the outbreaks, and the people who came down with the 1918 Spanish flu had gotten vaccinated. That was their big mistake. So what we're talking about here is something that there is no, room anymore. There's no time anymore for people to pussyfoot around and just dilly-dally about educating themselves about the New World Order. There's no room. If we don't take very organized on a town-to-town, city-by-city, state-by-state basis, the average populace, don't wait till September or October rolls around when they absolutely come out with all these edicts. Who knows what false flag event they might try to put up as a further cause of alarm and, you know, to cause people to get all shook up and just listen to whatever the government tells them to do. We can't wait to that 11th hour because they're going to force people to take these vaccines. And I don't know how the logistics are going to work out, but if people got, you know, it's July 22 now on the West Coast. If people started now, end of July, and throughout August, organize locally. We need first attorneys. Attorneys are already in the legal business. They have the expertise. They have access to the court system. There should be injunctions filed by more than dozens, by hundreds of organizations who are concerned about the welfare of citizens in this country and, of course, North America and throughout the world, ought to be filing first injunctions. They ought to be filing lawsuits against the government, against the very so-called authoritative bodies, against the President of the United States, against Congress, against any body of government that is attempting to posture themselves as having the authority to do this, that they don't have the authority to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We first, above all, we have the Constitution of the United States, and we have treaty obligations that the United States has signed that prohibits the forcing upon individuals a decision as to what, you know, occurs to their body, with their body, you know, that they simply can't impose, state-impose your will and literally tell you, well, we're going to just put whatever we want to put into your bloodstream, and we've passed our own little statutory edicts, rulings, presidential directives, this, the one they passed a couple of years ago, 2006, but anyway, there's two national acts, the National Emergency Act, I think that was passed during Clinton's term, maybe 96, 97, somewhere in there, and then there is that one that during Bush's term, I think 2006, they're using this utterly illegitimate, non-constitutional edicts as the basis for their authority. No, I'm sorry. You don't have the authority. And therefore, we must talk to local, start with common council membership. They ought to be calling special meetings. They ought to be having the call in the heads of, doctors groups, nurses groups, hospital, the state health agencies, et cetera. This should be done on the city and state level. And say, listen, the people of this country are not going to idly allow the federal government to try to mandate forced vaccinations. And essentially what I'm suggesting is that on a local level, we must demand the loyalty of the police departments. We must demand the loyalty of all people who are involved in this business, nurses, doctors, etc., that they absolutely will not engage in this activity. And to make it clear that if the government tries to force this through federal, enforcement using military troops or, you know, literally taking people out of their home, if they say, well, I'm not going to get vaccinated, and put them in a van and try to, you know, run them down to some FEMA detention camp, that this is not, you know, going to be accepted. We're going to separate state by state from the federal government. We need, you know, the loudest voices now from ordinary people who are not paying attention to the New World Order to get involved, because once they've get to the point where they're literally telling you by mail, by phone, by, you know, however they plan to do this, say that, you know, if your name is Alphabet from A through D and you live in this section, you are required to show up at so-and-so clinic or so-and-so hospital in this state, and they start sending out letters and they try all this official nonsense. People have to be prepared prior to that to absolutely get involved in a local level and let the government know. If enough people get involved locally, enough lawsuits are launched that it's just a boiling cauldron that suddenly percolates in the next 6 weeks, let's say, they'll back off. They will back off. There's no question about they're backing off. They're going ahead full steam now because they've ramped up this agenda so quickly. Remember, all of this started in late March, early April of this year.
Yeah, you know, let me interrupt you. Let me make a point, okay? We've got the World Health Organization supposedly being given the jurisdiction to enforce this on their own in conjunction with the UN. Now, I just want to make a point here and bring up a message that we got. Somebody's answering this Alex Jones question a little more specifically. The World Health Organization, we know, is responsible for introducing the AIDS virus in 1972 in Africa. Millions of people got AIDS, and it spread around the world because they made sure that those vaccinations went elsewhere, too. Blamed on a green monkey. A man had sex with a monkey, and all of a sudden AIDS was all over the world.
Yep.
That's implying that everybody else in the world had sex with either the monkey or this guy. Come on. You know, I mean, let's use some logic here, okay? And the UN, who built and gifted the UN building to the UN? Wasn't it the Rockefellers? Wasn't Nelson Rockefeller involved? Isn't that interesting? That Nelson Rockefeller's son, Michael, who I've proven, whose death was faked, and I'm saying is Barack Obama's father, you got a son of a Rockefeller in the White House right now. Do you not see the synchronicity of what's going on with the fact that there's a bloodline Rockefeller? I'm not saying he's 100%, by no means. Anybody that's read the work, I'm convinced of that. You're seeing that play out.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's playing out. This is the Rockefellers behind this, okay? We know where they live, do we not?
Mm-hmm.
Are we that lily-livered that we can't do anything to stop this? Yeah, they have control of the military because they're threatening these guys or bribing them with billions of dollars on the back end of their careers. That's what's going on. We know that. Now, on the side light here, Ken from North Carolina. This is not Ken Adachi. This is a different Ken. Kenneth from North Carolina says that Alex S. Jones used to work for the biolabs. I don't know which biolabs that is, but as a mathematical technician. I don't know if he was working out the numbers of how many of these viruses or vaccines they had to get out there to create a pandemic. I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you. You did remind me of something I read. Yes.
But he does work now with Dr. Rebecca Carley and Jane Burgermeister. That's what Kenneth from North Carolina said. So thank you, Kenneth from North Carolina.
Yes,
go ahead, Ken.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. Now that you said it, yes, I do remember I read there was this fellow. He was on the inside. And, yes, thank you. I'm going to find out more details. But when you first asked me, I didn't make the connection. But once this fellow Ken, what you just read did trigger my memory. Yes, I did remember this guy was in the inside. It seems to me, I'm trying to remember, someone also was involved in naval intelligence. I'm trying to. Well, I might be confusing yet another.
Well, let me just say, I mean, I'm a little uncomfortable tackling the subject because I'm not as versed on it as I should be, although
yeah,
I am
right.
aware of a lot of the components of this, and I've been following Atruat's work that you've been posting on your website, and I got to speak on a show with Dr. Carley not too long ago, and I'm familiar with a lot of this stuff from my past interviews with Larry Wayne Harris. I should say Dr. Larry Wayne Harris, who wrote the book Biological Warfare. So I'm read up on a lot of what they've created and how they're doing it and even, you know, what the safeguards are in protecting ourselves. But I can guarantee you getting a vaccine is not a safeguard. We're dealing with pure evil here. This is beyond Satan. I can't underscore that enough. I can't overemphasize that point. The amount of evil that is here. These people lie about everything. They steal. They murder. When do you expect them to start telling us the truth about anything? It's not going to happen. And so we've got to take matters into our own hands.
Well,
go ahead,
you just
Ken.
Said it. That, thank you. That is the word in your show last night, the one I post on my website with Ingrid. Oh, it wasn't. Yeah, it was last night, right? On the 21st, with Ingrid Cassell. She raised the same point that you just said, and because she was saying, well, you know, I'm not really sure these injunctions were actually filed. We don't have proof from this woman. And she said, you know, a lot of people are going to see something like this and say, oh, okay, someone's taking care of it. It's being challenged in court, so that will be it, and just do nothing. That is the most important thing said there. Even if this injunctions have been filed properly and are in the works, it doesn't mean it's going to solve anything, because what will most likely happen, as is typically the case, is that it'll be dismissed. Typically, they're dismissed because, unfortunately, a lot of judges are in the back pocket of, you know, the New World Order, are good cooperating Masons who'll do what they're told to do. And very often, sure, they'll dismiss it. So what we need is a lot of people across the country filing for multiple organizations in multiple courts, multiple injunctions to, you know, literally get some judge. Every single judge isn't going to be totally owned and compromised. Somewhere along the line, some judges are going to start thinking, hey, you know, I don't want my family to be vaccinated or my kids to be vaccinated either, and start doing the right thing. But just this one beginning attempt by Jane Burgemeister, et cetera, is not going to cut it. And that's what I said in the preamble to my piece. Naturally, I'm pleased if it's actually taken place and the paperwork has been filed, but that should merely be a template for hundreds of people to file lawsuits, injunctions, and that's one prong. The other prong is to start getting involved with your local so-called health professionals and get politicians involved at a local level to start having town meetings about this. This should be a burning the midnight oil issue in every town and hamlet, you know, across America. This should be alarming to people, because this whole idea of forcing a vaccination, besides being completely unconstitutional, besides being completely, you know, dictatorial in nature, despotic in nature, the reason they're forcing it is for the genocide agenda that anyone who's been posting articles or writing essays about the New World Order agenda will include the part that they use vaccinations as a means of infecting people with agents that cannot be cured in the normal way. That's why they developed AIDS. It's just one of a whole host. There is no new emerging diseases that have naturally evolved through nature in the last century. I mean, they're all bioweaponized, laboratory-created events by these New World Order people in the interest of eliminating the vast bulk of the world's population. The average sheeple needs to wake up to this now, because if you take that vaccine, then you can be enlightened till the cows come home. It's not going to stop the progression of the disease mechanism that you've allowed them to put into your body. And I couldn't care less about how many scoffing skeptics out there call you a wingnut and a tinfoil hat, conspiracy loon, and all these disparaging remarks. We're beyond that now. It's time to get serious to preserve your life and that of your children, and not allow these satanic devils to get away with this. If it's got to come down to, you know, shooting people to keep them from, you know, getting in your house, then so be it. But it wouldn't have to come to that if enough widespread agitation and a boiling sense of urgency starts to gestate in the next weeks. I mean, we just can't wait this long. The reason they're ramping this up so quickly, they don't want to give people time to find out what's going on, to think about it, to realize, oh my God, they're actually going to try to, you know, kill off the bulk of the world's population with these vaccines. We got to remember what happened to over a quarter of a million of U.S. servicemen who were part of Gulf War I, which took place in early 1991, January 1991. A certain segment of those troops had received special, quote, I'll put quotes on it, special vaccines, supposedly for anthrax, supposedly for that, which did not, let me repeat this, did not go on their medical records. Joyce Riley pointed that out in the mid-90s. Over 200,000 of those men are dead today. They were used as guinea pigs to see how well that soup that they had given to them, including the bioweaponized mycoplasmin fermentins that Garth Nicholson discovered when he himself had it, because his daughter was a nurse in the Army. She came down with Gulf War syndrome. Him and his wife, Nancy, came down with Gulf War. It's contagious. Because he's an expert in microbiology. He found out what the mechanism was. He found out what the weaponized, bug was, et cetera. But, you know, they made life so difficult for him that, well, he did his best. And he had tremendous guts there, in the first, during the 90s. He tried to go public, but they always put the screws to you, and they certainly put the screws to him. So he got out his word, and then he kind of retreated so that he can try to live some kind of normal life. I don't blame him. He did what any normal person would do. But once you start exposing their games, as he did, they make life very rough on you. So we need to get very concerned about this very quickly, and it's the average people who normally don't pay attention to these issues. You better get involved in this one. This is extremely serious, and we have to make it very clear to these organizers and planners of this event that there is no way they're going to vaccinate people against their will. Now, if those who want to line up voluntarily for this, fine, go right ahead. That's wonderful. Do whatever you think you ought to do. But to force vaccines, no way.
It can, in my opinion, and I'm hearing what you're saying as far as doing what we have to do on a local level. That's certain. Who can handle that or who should handle that is a totally different issue. And the person that comes to mind is Attorney Carl Pearson, who has proposed, he's put forth the concept of a local attorney general. And he's been doing this in a way that people don't have to come up with money to do this. In fact, money's being stolen from them, and he put a stop to this, number one. Mm-hmm. I can tell you my local city council hasn't figured out yet how to pass an ordinance on getting potholes filled. Yeah. So this is way beyond their pay scale, okay? And they bicker over a stop sign. Their issues are traffic related. The outlet for providing asphalt, which comes from the oil industry, to pad the pockets of the waste materials of oil wells. To put on the city streets over and over again, sometimes 3-4 times a year, this stuff doesn't work. They're not up to snuff. They're involved in the in the money laundering. They're involved, totally involved in the theft. They're involved in the emergency rule, which is the betrayal of the Constitution. So I don't see the remedy with them. That doesn't mean that we cannot take action. Now, I can see the local hospitals and the local doctors, not all of them, but the majority of them, licking their chops and rubbing their hands together, thinking of all the money they're going to make administering these vaccines. So they're not going to be cooperating. They're lying to us anyway. I mean, you've got hospitals that perform cesarean sections because there's money in that, even when it's not necessary, or they delay labor using Pitocin while the doctor's out having cocktails with his mistress or out on a golf course because he doesn't feel like coming in and delivering a baby and contributing to all the congenital problems that many children have. Not to mention the shock and the toxicity that produces in the child that causes autism and all kinds of other problems. These, you know, we're dealing with a lot of problems, and again, I reiterate that we've got to take responsibility ourselves. No one's going to come to our aid and do this for us. We have to do this.
I agree with the notion that very, in almost all cases, local government is preoccupied with self-aggrandizement for the politicians who engage in local government, as much as state and federal government are function in much the same way. They all say in their press releases and their websites that they're there for their constituents and so forth, but anyone who's over the age of 21 ought to know better, that it's largely a self-serving occupation. However, what we need, though, is ordinary citizens. Of course, you can't depend on local politicians, state politicians to save you. What I'm suggesting is that concerned individuals, parents especially, mothers, those who have the time, who aren't going to work every day to pay the rent, should be on the phone and on the internet and on blogs, networking with other parents that they know and start getting together in homes of 10 or 15, 20 people and talk about the very issue. First, if you understand just how dangerous and damaging any vaccine is, no matter what they purported to fix, all vaccines have a long history of being contaminated with toxic substances that compromise your immune system, as Ingrid was mentioning last night. You can see the difference in the neurological damage to a vaccinated child versus a young child who has not been vaccinated. There's a difference in their alertness, in their eye contact. There's many people who are sensitive to recognize it. It can see. And I do recall, if you remember, in the 1998-1999 space, David Icke had run across this shaman, black man in Africa named Credo Mutwa.
Something Credo Mundo or something like that.
Was Mutwa, Credo Mutwa, and he did a wonderful four-part video interview with him. And I remember very well from that interview that Credo had said that he says vaccinations absolutely dull a person's ability to perceive higher frequency events. He said, for instance, people who haven't been vaccinated can often see UFOs where vaccinated people cannot. He says unvaccinated people can recognize or sense or even see sometimes the presence of extraterrestrial aliens where a vaccinated person would not. I remember quite well him telling David Icke that, and that was, during these tapes that he made with him back in the late 90s. So there is known damage that has caused the body's neurological systems, hormone regulatory. I mean, there's much damage that flows from, quote, ordinary vaccines. But to contemplate or agree to or, you know, remain passive with this outrage, this absolute diabolical outrage to force people to take a vaccine that they don't want based on a completely contrived, made-up pandemic scare scenario is something that we're not going to abide by. I know you're not, I'm not, but we have to stop this juggernaut at this stage of development before it comes down to, you know, a shooting war, because it's going to come down to a shooting war. And but it can be stopped before that in the manner I suggested. You know, individuals like me or Ingrid or anyone who has a website and talks about vaccine dangers or authors like Gary Null, et cetera, who reach a lot of people, unless the people they're talking to, unless those who hear this recording between you and I or read the articles on my website, unless they themselves take action, we're not going to stop this. They're going to go ahead, and then it's going to get down to be a very dicey situation in which you're going to have to literally defend yourself with lethal force, and it's not going to be a pretty picture. So it's the ordinary. I mentioned it in my little piece that I put up this morning. The sheeple must wake up on this one. You can go back to sleep if you must after this one, but don't allow this mandatory vaccination program to steam forward, because they will do it. Don't plan on a change of heart by the government. The only thing that will stop them is an equal or a sufficient force, political force, whatever, you know, a force of will by a large enough segment of the population. If we have to, you know, as you mentioned, tear down the doors of these manufacturers, go after the people who are involved in producing this poisons, distributing these poisons, transporting these poisons, inoculating these poisons. If we have to literally go after the ones who are physically doing it, then so be it. We need to do that.
You know, Ken, do you recall, I don't know if it was 10 or 15 years ago, there was this Tylenol scare. Somebody, yeah. and of course, this was probably just a CIA psyops.
Yes, I agree with you. It was probably a psyops, right?
You know, but we had this, we've got to pull all the medications off the shelf because someone had tampered with these over-the-counter medications. Mm-hmm. Now think about that. What a ruckus that raised at that time.
Right.
And now they're talking about injecting people with disease. Mm-hmm. Think about that. We're not talking about somebody possibly putting poison in a bottle. We're talking mm-hmm. about them injecting it into your body.
Into your bloodstream. Right.
It's beyond me that people can't comprehend that. They just can't see that. Oh, well, why would they do that? Why would the government do that? They're making mm-hmm. us safe. They're making us secure. That's the change you were promised, folks. Mm-hmm. That's the change right there.
Yeah.
And next will come the shape-shifting right on TV. Guaranteed.
Oh, yes.
In high-definition television.
Yes, right. If they successfully force vaccinate the entire, you know, the bulk of the world's population, then they have nothing to fear about total exposure. They could shape-shift right on air and essentially say, so what? You know, we're here, we're in your face, because people are going to succumb to the disease that they'll acquire as a result of the vaccination, and you won't be able to fight when you're going straight downhill. That's certainly what they hope would happen or plan on happening if we allow it to happen. That's why we must really ramp up the opposition very quickly in these next few weeks. on the local level. And there is so much documentation freely available on the internet that will tell you very clearly and succinctly the dangers of any vaccinations, and that all of these earlier events that in which large numbers of people died, the 1918 Spanish flu being the best example, were caused by exposure to the vaccines. We need to know this. I said it before, let me repeat it again. Len Horowitz pointed it out in his 1994 book, Emerging Viruses. You said at the beginning of the show, or near the beginning of the show, the World Health Organization, which is a subgroup of the UN, launched into a four or five year so-called smallpox eradication program from up 72 to 76, somewhere in that
mm-hmm.
range. And they went throughout every village in Africa and told those people, you've got to have these vaccines because we're going to eliminate smallpox once and for all. And, the government says, hey, line up, just get over here and, do as you're told. In line, we're here to help you. Don't waste our time and pushing people around. Well, the reason 75-80% of the black people in Africa, Negro people in Africa, why did 75% of them have AIDS? Because it was given to them via those vaccines. And then, of course, it is a contagious situation. They can be transmitted through sexual contact. So those who were infected by the vaccinations certainly gave it to their, to the people that they, were intimate with and so forth. We got all that. But that's why, the bulk of the continent of black population of Africa got AIDS is because the World Health Organization gave it to them in the vaccinations. Now, this information was presented in a book that Len Horowitz put out in 1994, And, of course, other books. I remember, military man who did the book called The Secret Team. I'm trying to remember his name, though. He used to be with the Chiefs of Staff for many years, and he put out a very important book exposing. He was liaison. The Pentagon had him liaison with the CIA for eight or ten years, and he came out with a very important book called the E. Fletcher Prouty. He said in his radio interviews, which I heard he was doing this in the 80s, in this 86, 87, 88, he was doing fabulous radio show interviews at the time. He said then that the CIA developed AIDS in order to eliminate certain populations groups. The point of eliminating the black population in Africa is to eliminate the bulk of the people there so they could take over the countries to take the resources, the mineral resources.
Yeah, yeah. Again, follow the money.
It's follow the money. And, of course, they inoculated homosexuals in major areas like New York, et cetera, with what was supposed to be a hepatitis B vaccine. They got the AIDS that way. I mean, these plotters inoculated people, that Bergalis woman, that young gal who had sex with anybody she in her life, had sued what was supposed to be a dentist down there in Florida. Again, this was somewhere in the 80s. Forget the name of the dentist. He had AIDS. His name might have been Fox. I'm trying to remember. Anyway, he had AIDS, and the claim was that he transmitted the AIDS to her because working on him, without gloves and so forth, and so on. I don't know whether she got AIDS from that dentist or whether she got it by a vaccine, but there's a good chance that man was probably. It seems to me. He was a homosexual. He probably got, one of these hepatitis B vaccines that were laced with the AIDS virus. That's how he got it. And, yes, it may well have been that he transmitted it to that girl by working on her, or he might have had a cut, or it could have been some sort of transmission there that we're not fully
Yeah, it's not just sexually. You can actually, just by making contact with the virus, if you have a cut or it gets into your bloodstream, somehow.
The important point remember or bear in mind is that the government created these bioweaponized bugs, and they are intentionally giving it to people to kill them off, to reduce population. That's what they did in Africa in the 70s. That's what they did to our Gulf One war troops, the 225,000, the number's high, that have already died, got, their death sentence via that vaccine, and now they want to really reduce the Earth's population now with this forced vaccination. If ordinary people aren't going to rise up and rebel now, then it's all over. It's all over. Plan on having a very short life. Plan on having your children expire perhaps before you do. Plan on dying, because they're serious about this. They're serious about killing us off, and they too many of us to round up to put in the gas chambers, so they're simply going to vaccinate you with a vaccine that's eventually going to kill you. And it's not conspiracy babble. It's the truth. If you look at the historical record, there is no such thing as a safe vaccine, and these weaponized vaccines are intended to kill. And wake up to the reality of who the New World Order people. All the people listed at the complaint, the imposter Obama, Janet Napolitano, this official, Margaret Chan of the UN, these are Rockefeller, Rothschild agents, puppets, minions, who are doing what they are told. They are traitors. They are traitors not only to their own citizenry, but they're traitors to humanity as a whole. They need to be viewed as traitors. We wouldn't allow the top echelon of the Third Reich dictate such things to us. We wouldn't allow, Goebbels or any of those people to tell us, you're going to take this vaccination or I'm going to put you in a camp and fine you $250,000. We wouldn't allow that. Well, we're dealing with the same sort of evil monsters today. They have different names. Their names are Janet Napolitano or Chertoff or Geithner or any of them. They're all traitors to, first, the American people. They're part of our government of traitors to the Constitution, but they're traitors to humanity. They need to be treated with absolute contempt publicly, and they ought to be, delivered the message by, large numbers of people, by ordinary mail, etc., and let them know that they're New World Order traitors. Let's stop pussyfooting around about the whole issue of the New World Order takeover. Let's call them New World Order traitors and sellouts. That's what they are. And you need to let them know that you, the ordinary citizen, knows it. I would send a letter. Don't use your real name or real return address on it, but just send it to your representative and say, I live in your state. I have not signed this with my real name or real address for reasons that you know as well as I do, that I would be harassed if I did that. But I want you to know, I know you're a New World Order sellout and a traitor to the people in the Constitution. And we need to do that. What if thousands of people did this daily, just wrote their federal representatives, House, Senate, etc., and then your state representatives, etc., anyone who's cooperated with any of these treasonous bills, the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, this models health thing that they're using, I forgot the full name of it, Act, as the pretext for forcing people to take vaccines or go off to a quarantine FEMA camp. We need to let these people know that their hour is drawing to, you know, to an end here. And you need to do it in a safe way. As I said, I would do it with letters, just ordinary letters sent in the mail. And don't identify yourself. I know many people have the guts to do that, like that fourth grade teacher in Florida who just totally, you know, ripped Obama up one side and then down the other with the letter that she wrote in April. I just posted on my website a few days ago. A friend of mine had forwarded to me. I was unaware of it, but she unloaded on him quite rightly, and she put her name, address, phone number, and fax and all that. I would say that for the majority of people, while some are perfectly willing to do that, it's not wise. Don't give them ammunition to harass you. But a letter through the mail is the way to do it. If you use email, then you got to use like an internet cafe that can't be traced to you per se. But I would send an ordinary letter. That would work.
I found something else, and you want to talk about health care. We have a lot of the U.S. military around the world listening to the show right now. Uh-huh. And I want to point something out here. I'm going to read something to you.
Okay.
Bad press, including major mockery of the plan by comedian Jon Stewart, led to President Obama, and I'm going to put AKA long-legged Mac Daddy, abandoning his proposal to require veterans carry private health insurance to cover the estimated $540 million annual cost to the federal government of treatment for injuries to military personnel received during their tours on active duty. The president admitted that he was puzzled by the magnitude of the opposition to his proposal. This is a quote. "Look, it's an all-volunteer force," the long-legged Mac Daddy complained. "Nobody made these guys go to war. They had to have known and accepted the risks. Now they whine about bearing the costs of their choice?
Holy.
It doesn't compute. I thought these were people who were proud to sacrifice for their country," the long-legged Mac Daddy continued. "I wasn't asking for blood, just money." No surprise to that one. "With the country facing the worst financial crisis in its history, I'd have thought that the patriotic thing to do would be to try to help reduce the nation's deficit. I guess I underestimated the selfishness of some of my fellow Americans." Now, let's get something straight. These are not his fellow Americans, number one, okay? Mm-hmm. These people are putting their lives on the line for what? They're told they're spreading democracy and they're defending the country, and this guy has the gall to call himself a fellow American, and he can't even produce a legitimate certificate of live birth, a legitimate kindergarten photo. Come on. And while he's stealing trillions of dollars, while he is stealing trillions of dollars, he has the gall to say this, that it would save the country some money. No, it's just more money for him to get his hands and his cronies on. This should outrage everybody in the military. They should revolt.
You're absolutely right. And, of course, he never served in the military, as nor did Clinton. And as far as the Mickey Mouse Weekend warrior there, who was, essentially drummed out of his flight Texas National Guard situation, Bush 2, etc. None of these people, particularly in the last administration, none of them, these warmongers, were themselves in the military. Rumsfeld, Cheney, etc. They all skipped the draft when it was their time to be there. And I mentioned to you that I was in the military, and I would be especially outraged when we have this non-American imposter who's never served, who's trying to play this, what shall we call it, self-righteous, indignant role. Now, I remember Clinton did that himself. A year and a half, 2 years ago, he was on stage somewhere, and someone had bought up to him, I forget the issue, that he, in order to, something to do with his conduct in aiding, bringing in the New World Order, I forget the issue, but the way, but I think it was a student body situation too, it was at a university perhaps, and what he said back to the person in the audience who shouted out whatever it is that annoyed him, he shot back, "How dare you, how dare you," because the person was implying that, you know, that Clinton had engaged in treason against the country, and he's getting so indignant. Well, I can see Obama pulling the same card here. He's playing this indignant card like he's going to embarrass the people in the military because they now want the military to buy their own insurance to cover injuries they sustain while in the military. This is more than insane. This is bedlam, you know, on steroids. This is amazing that this guy actually has the nerve to say this. He's trying to cow these people?
I'm still asking for the investigation of the murder of this little baby, Renee Abena Obama. Lived 56 days, died in 2004.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The sacrificial death. There should be a murder investigation, no?
Of course.
Yeah. You see, I brought that up a number of times, and I'll keep bringing it up, not to mention all the deaths that are being caused. And you, they're calling him commander-in-chief? Wake up, fellas.
Yeah.
And gals, wake up in the military.
Yeah.
Wake
yes,
up.
I can just expound on folks who don't understand that the Illuminati elite of the world are Satanist, and it's part of the deal with Illuminati families and Satanists at that level is that very often they kill in a satanic sacrifice, they murder the firstborn of a family. Not in every case, but in many, many cases. For instance, that John Ramsey Benet girl, she was sacrificed. The father was a banker. He was an Illuminati insider. He essentially sacrificed that child. Arizona Wilder pointed this out in her video that she did with David Icke in 1999 called Revelations of a Mother Goddess. If you look carefully, I'll give you an example. Not so many years ago, a woman married what was the prince of the royal family in Japan before his father's passed away and he's become the emperor now. But their very first child, and only people who follow Japanese news would know this, the very first child supposedly, died as a result of an abortion, not an intentional abortion, but rather, you know, at the sixth or seventh month point. She was pregnant and then, quote, sadly, the baby was lost. And then she got pregnant a second and said, okay, the first baby was not lost, in my opinion. It was taken early and sacrificed. That's what they typically do. So what you're talking about is a sacrificial child who you have reason to believe was...
Oh, yeah, Obama. There's real estate tied to this and everything.
Obama's, right.
That's what you're referring to.
A child that only had lived 56 days. It looks like it's a satanic sacrifice of the firstborn. That's what they do.
Oh, yeah.
With Illuminati.
All the earmarkings. It lived 56 days. That adds up to the number 11 numerologically. The baby was born on Halloween.
Right.
Halloween, October 31st, 2004, and was murdered on the 25th of December.
Right.
Same year.
Those are high satanic holidays.
And that was the 110th anniversary of the birthday of the great-grandfather. You know, and the apartment number was 111, the condominium in Florida, in Tamarack, Florida. You had 4 times 11, that's 44. The 44th president. The numerology is written all over it. It's obvious. And this person says, I don't want blood, I just want money.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, people out there in the military. Please, wake up. Really consider what you're being asked to do. Ken, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show. Sorry about the communication problems, technical problems at the top of the show.
Well, thanks, Tom, for having me on again.
And I want to direct folks to your website. You got some new articles there I've been reading. I've had time the last day or so to catch up on my reading and my research. The website address is educate-yourself.org. You can spend days, weeks, and months there and never read everything that's posted on that site. I encourage it highly. And I want to thank you for the crops that you've done. I'm going to put up a bonus page for the part 7 of the Three Stooges Go to Washington. I already put up the In Search Of video. So anyone that wants to look at that video and take it into consideration, it's on the documentaries page. It's interesting. Trust that my discernment is that it was a staged event, the rescue attempt of the so-called missing Michael Rockefeller. It was all a hoax. That TV show was nothing but a hoax. Mm-hmm. And the video's there for you to make your own determination. And I'm going to publish some other goodies, some crops that Ken did of the photos, close-up shots that reveal some really interesting things. So I want to thank you for the work that you did on that ahead of time. And I wish you a great rest of the week, and you're going to be on again next week. So in the meantime, take care.
Thank you.
Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio and our special guest, Ken Adachi. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, all the folks out there on Blog Talk and Wind Talkers Radio Networks, thank you very much for tuning in. And you and the listening audience, thank you for tuning in as well. And I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.